Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
And that, of course, was the voice of Brian Brown, who's the creator of the Brown Briefly. You know, Brian brought to the Briefly his high standards of hosting an intelligent discussion of current events. It was often laced with humor and empathy. And, of course, Brian's central concept, as he stated, was less is more, more or less. And, of course, Brian always brought his A game, and that was always a lot more. This is the Brown Briefly. As I said, I'm your host this morning, Truman O'Brien. Unusual job for me, hosting. I don't normally do that. But he's giving me a bad... He's looking at me like, what are you saying? What are you saying?
It's about time, Truman.
I guess it is. I guess I need to host one now and then.
Don't choke.
Right. Thanks. Hey, zooming in from home. Going to introduce it briefly. So you're zooming in from home on Vachon above Burton. Is the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group. It's our indefatigable defender of democracy who strives to create a livable planet overseen by a government we can appreciate or at least tolerate. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be here on a sunny, beautiful day. Happy Halloween.
Well, yeah, finally. Boy, it was a little froggy this morning. I don't know if it was foggy at your house, but it was a bit of a drive coming in today. But,
I'm basking in sunshine at the moment. So.
Yay. All right. And normally zooming in from above KVI Beach, but it's actually in the studio this morning.
Live in front
Live.
Of you.
Live. I can't believe it. It's our own globe-trotting guardian of the galaxy, historian extraordinaire, and skipper of the Vashona and president of the Vachon Heritage Museum, Mr. Bruce Hallman. Good morning, Bruce.
Good to be here this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, and sitting next to me over here is my airplane partner and fellow treetop flyer, arbitrator, mediator, and two-time Fulbright scholar. I love this one. High-end women's shoe salesman and Pinkerton guard for the original Boeing 747. That is that, was that Pan Am's?
It was.
Yeah.
Yes.
And former tort law professor and the Washington State Assistant Attorney General, Craig Bellis.
Hi, Truman.
Good morning.
And fellow Brieflies and guests, great to be here.
Good morning. And as I said, I'm Truman O'Brien. I am a former airline pilot, another treetop landing guy with Craig, flight instructor, airport commissioner. I'm head of the tech team for Voice of Vachon. Which is a whole nother story. Today, I'm also engineering the show here at the beautiful Gene Bosch Broadcast Studio in downtown Vachon.
And you sometimes speak publicly on the radio.
Yeah, not well, but publicly, yes. And joining us today in the studio are candidates for Vachon Island School Board, Angela Marshall and Martha Woodard. Good morning, ladies. Oh, do I have you on? No. I guess it helps you turn your mics on.
Good morning.
There you are. Good morning.
Good morning.
Listen, much better now.
That's much better. Before we get into the introductions and everything about our candidates, we just take a moment and go around the room and kind of check and see what folks have been up to during the week. So we might as well start. Why don't you start, Craig? Tell us what you've been up to.
Yeah, sure. Had a great time at the Coop the other night. Alchemy and the Kings Highway were playing. And people are there dancing and having just a high old time. And most people are in costumes. So that was...
That would have been fun.
That was great fun. Tonight, as we close the street here, starting, I think, at 5 o'clock, I'm going to be here with my wife, Lynette. We're going to be handing... Here being the studio, the Voice of Vachon studio in beautiful, bodacious downtown Vachon, or uptown Vachon. And I'll be handing out candy. So come on by and say hello. And on Thursday morning of this coming week, in 2 days, I've got my morning scramble from 9 till noon on the Voice of Vachon. And it'll be dedicated for most purposes to the Day of the Dead, which is considerably different than Halloween. And we'll talk about that on Thursday morning.
All right. We're looking forward to that one. Bruce, how about you?
Well, my 6-year-old grandson has his birthday tomorrow. And so it's always been a sort of a Halloween birthday combination. So Saturday we had his birthday, his sort of unofficial birthday party at my son's house in Ellisport. And it was amazing. There's about 15 6-year-olds running around in costumes and all their parents dressed in costumes. And it's just a kick. And so I'm so eager to come up tonight. It's always fun to walk up and down Main Street, Vashon, when it's closed down and everybody's in costume and kids are chasing candy all over the town. And so it's really interesting to have a birthday the day after Halloween. It's a fascinating kind of thing. So that's been consuming my week.
I'll bet it has. Oh, my gosh. Kevin, how about you?
Hey, you know, Susie and I had a chance to do a little bit of escapism over the course of the last week and visit some of our favorite places. Sunny Squim. We actually crossed the pond on the Black Ball Ferry, the Coho Ferry. So if you haven't done that recently, pretty amazing little journey. So we spent a little time in Victoria as well. The Empress, now their restoration is complete. It deterred us in some years past, but now the building is looking very fine. And so we spent a couple of days there and enjoyed a little bit of a short vacation.
You know, a couple of years ago, several years ago, I was in Vancouver, Victoria, in the harbor, and I kept looking at the Empress going, what is different? Something is different about that building. They stripped all the ivy off. I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, that's what's going on. It's amazing. But so, Angela, how about you? Anything exciting going on besides campaigning this week?
Yes, and there is Halloween. And so, similarly, my son's birthday is today. And he wanted to make sure that I said that on the radio.
Oh, good.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's the funnest day. And I will tell you, having a baby on Halloween is very memorable. Nurses in costume and everything. Oh. But yes, otherwise we are really busy campaigning. So my highlight of the week was on Saturday, beautiful, sunny Saturday starting the week. We spent some time out on the street corner here at town at the Fourway, and my two kids joined me. And so that was a really fun experience. And I was super impressed with my youngest child, who's about 10 years old. He had the stamina to stay for 4 hours.
Wow.
He had so much fun. So that was a really fun experience.
Good. Martha, how about you?
Well, my week has been sort of per usual. Since I've been retired, I've been doing volunteer work. Yeah. And one of the fun things is to work at Granny's. And of course,
yes.
Halloween has been the focus of Granny's for a month. And I usually work on Fridays right before the weekend when we get all ready for the people who can come in when they're not at work. And the place was just wall-to-wall costumes, pumpkins, spiders. And I hope everybody who needed a costume got one before the big day.
That's outstanding. That is great. Yeah, Granny's is always just the highlight of that season, you know, for people just coming out of there with the wildest costumes. Amazing. Well, I had a kind of an exciting week and a fun week. As I mentioned, I'm the tech lead of Voice of Vashon, and that does not mean I have any technical expertise, trust me. But our sign, you know, the signs, the along the highway, the
red light.
Yeah, well, it's an amber, actually.
But, right.
But the light that, the light that flashes to tell you that there's an emergency alert thing. Well, the one on the south end at the Tahlequah Y quit working. So a little research determined that the batteries were bad. It has a solar panel which recharges, but, you know, the batteries finally gave up the ghost. So we replaced all the batteries, the one out at Ingalls and the one at the Y. Got it all put together, and everything looked great, and everything was working perfectly, and we closed the door. Well, the way this thing is made, the radio mounts in the door, and it impacted the battery as we closed the door and shorted out. So we had billows of smoke flowing out of that panel, and we're frantically, they've actually tried to, starting to screw the door closed, and we're up there frantically trying to unscrew the darn thing so we can open it and get it put out, and it finally went out, but boy, we burned up all the wiring, so now we're in the process of rebuilding the sign. So that's just one of those things. But the other fun thing is the fellow that was the best man at my wedding, been a friend of mine since, I think, fifth grade, I mean, a long time, lives over in Bremerton now. I went over and picked him up and took him out to see Oscar, the Bird mm-hmm. King troll. And they were very, very impressed, to say the least. Yeah, right. I had lunch and took him back. So anyway, that was a fun time.
Your exciting week included a flight review for me. That was little too exciting.
Well, that was pretty exciting.
To check to see if I could still stay in the air.
And, you know, you did a good job. I was impressed. You must have had an excellent instructor.
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm sure so. That's what it was.
It was, yeah. It was.
For you folks that don't know, that was me. Hey, so today is October 31st, obviously Halloween. But there's three church items that occurred on this date. In 1517, Martin Luther sends his 95 theses to Albert of Brandenburg, Archbishop of Mainz, precipitating the Protestant Reformation. So that was on 1517. And in 1541, Michelangelo finished painting The Last Judgment in the Sistine Chapel. And here's my favorite. In 1992, the Roman Catholic Church finally apologized for its treatment of the astronomer Galileo after 359 years. Can you imagine?
Took a while.
About time.
Better late than never.
Better late than never, indeed. Yes?
I got a message, just a reminder, that we have the birthday bash for the Voice of Ashland coming up on November 16th, the lip sync video launch tomorrow online, and $1 per vote to vote for the lip sync videos. The live battle, like I said, is November 16th at 7 p.m. at O Space. Bring cash or a card to vote for your favorite and for libations. If you miss signing up for a video, if you want to be one of the lip syncers, you can sign up to perform for the live event on November 16th by signing up before November 10th. So go to info@voiceofvashon.com. with your contact information and help out the Voice of Ashon.
Boy, and if you've never gone to that, that is a really fun event. Some of the costumes and the performances are just really outstanding, just the best. All right, so we're going to start our small talk segment where we talk to Angela and Martha about their candidacies for school board. And before we start, I just want to say thank you to both of you very much for taking the time and the effort to run for this very important position. It's so important that our citizens get involved in our whole system, school system, and our other forms of government. And anyway, I really appreciate your candidacy, so thank you. Let's start in alphabetical order. So Angela, why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Hi, I've lived on Vashon for about 8 years. With my family, we moved over here, and now we're raising, my husband and I, raising two young boys. They're about 10 and 12 today. So they both attend Chautauqua. So one attends Chautauqua and one attends McMurray. I came here from, after being raised over in the east side of Washington and North Idaho. Came over to Seattle where I planned to pursue and continue a career where I was working in the broadcast television industry. So in news production, worked at Cairo TV. What ended up kind of in an unplanned manner, I dipped my toes into the labor movement while I was working there, becoming a shop steward for my union. Eventually became a union rep for at the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, where I worked for about a decade. And brought me to my current profession at King County, where I serve as deputy director of the Office of Labor Relations. Where I work today.
Wow. That's a really an interesting background. I appreciate that. So, Martha, how about you?
Well, like Angela, I sort of came to Vashon and to what I was doing in a circuitous route. I graduated from the University of Wisconsin at Madison, which was in Wisconsin at my hometown. And it was at a time of deep recession right after the Vietnam War. So I figured if I was flipping burgers somewhere, I wanted to do it somewhere else. And I had a dear friend graduating from Berkeley at the same time, also named Martha. So whomever got a job first, we were going to move there. And I got a job as a nanny in Seattle, which brought me out to Seattle. And then, like Angela, I got involved in the union work early by getting a clerking job at Downtown Bartels, which no longer exists. And then we went out on strike, and I was the youngest shop steward of the entire bunch on the bargaining team. And it was really interesting because not only was the strike fairly protracted, but I got to see quite up close and personal the issue of gender equity, because the Teamsters were supposed to support us. And since we were an almost all women's union, they supported us by word, but not by deed. And rather than not delivering goods as they would with a male union at the time, they drove the trucks up to the dock and stopped 6 feet away. So that was their honoring of their sort of alliance with us. I am so glad that both of us are pro-union people, because unions are super important, and kudos to UAW for the 25% raise and all the clawing back of the things in 2008. That's a little bird walk. I met my husband in Seattle, and we got married, and 2 days later moved to Vashon on January 1st, 1977.
Wow.
And we rented that little yellow house on the north end, and I started working for Vibeal at the old country store. And everybody I worked with, like me, had a college degree, as per usual on Vashon. And I really wanted some kind of, you know, challenge. And with a history degree, I thought, what can I do? I went back to school, got a teaching certificate, and I heard on the boat, as you always do, the history teacher walked out that afternoon, and I called and said I could be there. And I've been in the Vashon School District ever since, until my retirement.
What year was that?
1983 is when I first started working for the district.
Wow. Fantastic. Greg, you want to start us out here with
Well, I'm going to ask the logical question, first off, to Angela. And why do you want to serve on the VISD board?
Thank you for that question. I'm running for the school board, position number 3, because I felt that there was a dire need to restore accountability in the district. This would be achieved by increasing transparency and oversight. There is a significant set of inherited problems, and we need a board that's willing to challenge the administration when warranted. We need to lead a shift away from the framework that's failed our kids, our parents, and educators. And I'm committed to that reestablishment of having a deliberative process in the open public meetings, asking questions, seeking timely information, getting data, encouraging healthy discussion and debate when we need it, and most importantly, in the public view. So, the district does have work to do to restore community trust. There have been a lot of issues that we've known about in the last couple of years, and I'm ready to be accountable to the community. To do this, the board must begin ensuring that decision-making is firmly rooted in principled approaches, specifically that are in support of the district's mission, which promises that every student is welcome, known, and treasured, graduates confident and competent to thrive in a future they imagine.
Wow. Excellent. Martha, same question. Why do you want to serve on the school board?
I have a deep and abiding faith that our democracy is built on high-quality education for all. And I have watched the district struggle through COVID, through what I think has been some serious mistakes on the part of leadership, as well as challenges that are systemic to the institution. Some of it created here on the island, and some of it created through the state legislature and the kind of unfunded mandates that are heaped upon a small district. And I've been very, very concerned about the challenges that the district has faced and the sort of state of things at the moment. So my friends have asked me, many of my community member friends have asked me to run for the board ever since 2016. It's a difficult and tedious job, and it requires a great deal of dedication. And I finally decided that I needed to do it, that I really, since my retirement, I've had a break, and now I can take a deep dive back into the system that I love and try to fix it.
Oh, what year did you grad or did you retire?
June of 2016.
Okay, thank you.
So let me follow up with another question. I'll go to Martha first and Angela. So you both have been involved with the labor movement and very impressively. So, but let me ask you, what in your past experience, beyond your involvement with the labor movement, sort of prepares you to deal with the kinds of attacks that are going on right now on education by special interest groups who want this taught or that taught or not taught? You know, I mean, it's a troubled time in education right now. What prepares you outside of your labor activity for meeting those challenges? Martha first and then Angela.
Well, as a teacher, I have been in right on the front line, so to speak, of the kind of issues of being buffeted by trends, by popular assumptions of what education is, by misinformation. I have a great faith in education and in the expertise of people teaching. We have brand new teachers out there right now working in all three schools. I have great faith that they are well educated. And I also know how difficult it is for a small community to balance all the needs of all the children, which is what we have to do. The state and the way our regressive tax system has rigged the deal so that we end up as a small district having to make very hard choices. And I want those choices that we have to make very carefully thought out for a strong, high-quality progressive education, not because of trends of the moment. And I also want to make sure that we as a board make financial choices that will sustain the kind of high quality that Vashon is known for.
Great. Thank you. Angela, how about you?
So first thing I would suggest is that our local school board is really needs to maintain its buffered ability to stay away from the political scene. So we have volunteers. While this is a political election, we ultimately elect our community members to serve on this board and operate business of maintaining the school district's business decisions, employment decisions, and ultimately the decisions of what we're going to teach our our kids and the programs that we're going to offer. So first things first, buffering from the news of the day and the politic of choice in, you know, in the year. And really, I think the way that we can do that is operating the business in the most responsible manner on behalf of the community, our taxpayers, and families, kids, and the instructors that are tasked with teaching those kids. So with that being said, I do have the practical experience that of running a public agency, being responsible for the community, the taxpayers that put us in charge of the budgets and the policies of maintaining that service to our public. And ultimately, also, I am very experienced in handling sensitive employment matters, budgets, and politically sensitive issues. Mm.
Great. Thank you.
Kevin, do you have a...
I do. And I think we'll go back, Angela, to you to continue answering this new question. In your view, what is the most challenging equity issue facing Vashon School District, and what changes should be implemented to address that issue?
So I think representation is key in the district's staffing population does not reflect the diversity of the student population in our district. So we need to institute pro-equity hiring practices that break down barriers and promote diversity in our hiring. I'd also like to see us promote diversity in the student body by taking opportunities to recruit students that wish to enroll from off-island that specifically come from marginalized or diverse backgrounds.
All right, thank you. And Marcia, same question. In your view, the most challenging equity issue facing the school district, and what changes should be implemented to address that issue?
The most challenging equity issues are the same issues of high quality education for all our children. Obviously, one of the glaring issues that has bothered me ever since I started teaching here and the demographics of the island have gotten a little more diverse is our lack of funding for English language learners. And this is really due to the substandard funding that the state brings to education, which means that small districts must make up the difference for all programs. So the best way to address equity is to make sure that whatever funding we have goes to all of the interest groups on Vashon. And that, in my opinion, means that we go ask the groups that are close to every faction, every economic and diverse part of our island population, what are their needs? How can the school do better? And really focus locally on our issues. We can globally discuss social justice, racial equity, but it really comes down to an island solution for our island issues. And this... I guess as a teacher, having sat through diversity programming and things like that that are designed conceptually and not practically, I want to bring as a board member the most practical solutions as we can to educate our students and to educate all of them. High educational standards is equity. And we must serve our entire population.
Very good. Very good. Thank you. You know, I was a former Vashon Island Park District commissioner, and I was on the board when we established the whole Vashon Commons program, which is, you know, the, for folks who don't understand, it's the use of of school properties during non-school hours for the public. And one of the reasons we started that was that in one of the levy campaigns, the promise to the community was that if we passed this levy for the schools, we would have access to school property, the citizens would. So we established the commons agreement. My question to you, and let's start with you, Angela, is do you know about this agreement, and what do you know about it, and how do you see that being used going forward?
Yes. So the commons agreement is a very long, decades long, multiple decades long, probably approximately 40 years.
I'm sorry to say that that's probably correct.
Almost. arrangement. It's a very beloved arrangement. And I would say that it's a symbiotic relationship, that while it creates a pool of resources for facility access resources, it creates significant efficiencies for both the school district and the parks district. What ends up happening with that symbiotic relationship and those efficiencies gained between those two districts is this benefit to the community, where we receive low cost, accessible resources for meeting rooms, the theater resource at the school district, the fields, the gyms. These various facility resources that the community can tap into and utilize, it's this arrangement that I highly support, and it's an excellent example of taxing districts providing rewarding service for lifelong learners, and that I would advocate to maintain into the future.
And Martha, you as a teacher, how did you see that working? How did that program work for you?
Well, I think it really fits the island, because we aren't just one entity. Many people do multiple tasks, and I have benefited as a teacher by use, for instance, of artists in the schools. I know the Nature Conservatory of Vashon and the Audubon Society of Vashon has worked very closely, especially in the elementary schools. The science has benefited. And I think this whole idea of sharing should just simply be expanded. I have, and I know this is a bit off topic, but not really, because as in my retirement, I've been able to take a much more up close and personal view of the social services that we offer on Vashon, and the overlapping ways that we support families that will also support education. So I see every service, from the park service to the social services to the education institution, as one global support system for our children and our families. And I totally believe that this is Vashon's strength. When you look at the response that we did on the island to COVID, and the way that we worked to vaccinate us all, it gives you a sense of what the community can do when we pull together and work. And I think the problems that we have financially as a small community can be offset by that kind of communal cooperation.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I appreciate both of your answers to that.
Yeah, I've got kind of a question. You've touched upon policies and practices that you think are important to you. I'm curious what policies or practices, if any, you think need to be changed at the school district, or at least improved upon. And Martha, I'm going to go back to you on this first. What policies or practice do you see changes or improvements are needed?
Well, when you read policies, they sound great. And I wouldn't spend, you know, hours redoing a mission statement by any means. What we need is to try to get our district in a practical way to be able to increase the oversight of what's going on the curriculum and in the classroom. And that doesn't mean, you know, some kind of populist movement, mob kind of thing that we all worry about interfering with the curriculum. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that as a board, we have a fairly narrow job of finance and tone of the district, but we do have the directive on being able to, in my opinion, streamline the red tape that gets in the way of administrators doing the job that they should do. And as a teacher, I would have welcomed more oversight by the principals. And that became less and less and less as the state and the sort of less necessary things came down the pike to burden my principals. They're the ones who are supposed to bird dog the classroom. And what is the most important thing in education is what's going on in between the student and the teacher, and what's going on in maintenance of those classrooms and buildings. Because when the rubber meets the road, what you want is a clean, safe environment that will continue for years and years, where we don't keep refunding for maintenance because it's been deferred. And we also want our kids to be safe and well-educated. That falls on the administration. The board's job is to supervise the administration through supervising the superintendent and through close communication with our community. And I guess that's sort of globally what I would be saying needs to be reinforced and reintroduced into our school system now that the chaos of Zoom and COVID is over.
Angela, same question about are there any policies or practices you'd like to see either changed or improved at the school district?
Yes. So I do believe that first and foremost, the board should do a thorough review to clarify, modernize, and expire outdated policies. Any policies and practices are only effective when they are known, distributed, and to all those impacted under them, and equitably applied, and most importantly, enforced. If elected, I plan to task the administration to provide the board with a summary of all the policies, the date that they were last reviewed, and when employees and all those that are covered under those policies have received reminders and receipts of acknowledgement. I would like to seek the administration's recommendation for proposed revisions to ensure that they are in compliance. And using those recommendations and that information provided, the board could make policy decisions in that public meeting, discuss those policies and determine what should be updated, maybe discontinued. But I also want to speak specifically to the general practice of the district's risk avoidance measures, awarding economic resignation settlement agreements in lieu of termination to the predatory teachers who violated the boundaries policies, sent the wrong message to students, teachers, and our community.
Bruce, do you have a follow-up on that? Or?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I do want to continue. I get all hopped up here.
Yeah, no,
so,
I'm sorry. No.
But I think that the administration needs to begin leading with principled action and defensible decision-making. They must unapologetically make clear to its staff what the expectations are regarding behaviors. And this includes instituting clear procedures around making and receiving complaints, as well as having those complaints investigated in a timely manner.
Okay, sorry.
Great. Do you want to follow up?
Yeah, I do. I am absolutely upset as an Islander, as a former teacher, as to how all of this behavior has been dealt with. And it is, I join Angela in saying that this is because of a lack of oversight. And it isn't of a, I want to be really clear, this is not a lack of training on the part of what a teacher should do and should not do. The kind of behavior that has been exhibited has, we, as a teacher, we have had multiple trainings on what is ethical in the classroom, both sponsored by the union and by the district. And so the training is not the issue. It's the follow-through on the administration's part that is the issue. When you are a teacher, you're really almost an autonomous being. And the only real impact that can be made is if your administrators are listening to both what the fellow teachers are saying and the students are saying and the community. And that's why it's so important for the board to speak with the administration and to speak in a voice that says this matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You both touched upon the role of the board members, and you have done a lot of things before you've run for this office that are different roles, different expectations that people have of you and that are part of your job description. As a board member, and this is true of all boards, especially nonprofit boards and government boards, it's how much micromanaging you do as a board member, how much do you fly at 40,000 feet mm-hmm. as a board member. What are your thoughts about where your job kind of stops and the role of staff, faculty, and administration begins? Angela?
The board is responsible for governing, setting direction, and establishing goals for the district, and ultimately ensuring thorough oversight of the administration. It is the role of the VISD staff and administration to carry out that direction. I think it's also the board's responsibility to oversee the superintendent's performance. I'm concerned that the board has not been very proactive in the role of the oversight and the superintendent's performance as of recently, the last few years. And I would intend to take a more proactive approach in ensuring that the leadership understands what the board expectations are. So that doesn't mean that it's the board's job to do the work, but it really is the board's job to make clear what the expectations are for the direction and the decision-making approaches that really should be taken generally as a whole across the district. So I want to give some examples, though. Some of the expectations that I would like to see are providing timely information to the board and to the public, balanced economic decisions aligned with the district values and consistent with the approved budget parameters, and managing personnel matters and contractual decisions in a manner that is supported by the mission and the strategic plan.
Thank you. Those are good examples. Mm-hmm. Martha, what's your thoughts on the role of a board member of the school district vis-a-vis the, you know, staff, the superintendent, et cetera, and the faculty?
Well, I think Angela was very eloquent in what she said. And I agree. We are not on the board to micromanage curriculum. We are not on the board to micromanage, you know, what happens day to day in each classroom. In fact, I think that is totally detrimental to the education system if a board does. And I've certainly seen boards try to do it in my past experience. Our job is to understand what's going on, particularly with the budget and particularly with our superintendent and our administrators. And I'll be really honest, I have not had any experience in this vein except for bargaining the contract, which I did for 25 years for the teachers' union. I do understand budget. I have seen many boards operate. I've seen boards that were very effective and boards that were not. The ones that are effective are responsible, as transparent as you legally can be, and curious and creative about solutions. That's all I can say.
And Bruce, Kevin is
okay. Sure,
motioning here.
Right,
go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, and Truman, I know you're direct in traffic. I do have another question to ask, but if Bruce has a question as well,
okay. It's sort of a follow up on this policy thing. You know, the board's responsible for economic well-being, you know, and for setting general policies. And one of the policies that the Vashon School District has undertaken is to bring off-island students onto the island to be part of the Vashon School District. It's kept Vashon's school population at about 1,500 over the last 10, 12 years, which we would be down around 1,100 or 1,200 without those off island students. Let me ask Martha first and then Angela. How do you see that policy working out? Is it economically still advantageous for it? Does it change the nature of the school district? How do you see that bringing off island students here to the island schools working as a board member?
Bringing off island students to the school system is absolutely necessary in terms of the way our financial system is. As a teacher, I always found those students absolutely delightful. They are sacrificing big time to come to our school. So they appreciate what's going on in the school. If you were a kid and had to get up at 5 o'clock to get to Vashon High School, you've got to be dedicated to that school, you know, to go. And I welcome the off-island students. I think they're a great addition to the student population because they bring different points of view and diversity as well. So I would definitely think that was a practice that should be continued.
I agree that the practice of allowing off-island kids to come to the district has provided a consistent buffer, both budgetarily. And I also think that it creates a little bit of diversity for the kids here. And I look forward to my kids, for instance, meeting some friends that live off-island and getting to the point where they're old enough to go hop on the ferry and visit their friends and gallivant around Seattle or Tacoma. But one thing I would just add, I do think it's an advantageous arrangement, but I think that we should be more thoughtful about reaching out to more diverse populations to bring kids here where we can create a more diverse set of experiences among the student body. I do think that what does end up happening is we're continuing to bring in kids from local neighborhoods where they're leaving a diverse neighborhood and coming here. And ultimately, I really don't want to be contributing to what we would call the white flight experience. And I think there's ways that we can be more proactive to avoid that.
Great. Thank you.
Kevin?
All right. Thanks, Truman. Let's see. You both answered a question earlier about policies, sort of a general question about policies and programs. This question is maybe more specific. What role do you see students playing in defining policies and programs at Vashon School District? And what, if anything, needs to be done to effectively engage students in that role? And if we could start with Angela.
Thank you. So people should have a meaningful say in policies that affect them. So that does mean that student input can create a tangible benefit, not only for themselves, but also for school policy as a whole. You know, we find that including students in development of policies and programs does increase their academic motivation. It increases civic engagement and positive school cultures when they're involved. So I do think that it's important that student representation encourages development of equitable and culturally responsive policy. So including students from marginalized backgrounds is especially important to allow their lived experiences that would inform decisions that create more equitable education policy, and ensure that the resources are allocated usefully and effectively.
And if I could just say, what, if anything, needs to be done to effectively engage students in that role?
I do think there needs to be probably a multi-pronged approach. I know that there's been a committee approach, and I think that's helpful, where inviting certain students to participate in development of policies, that can be a really great experience. But I think there's also some drawbacks when we're bringing some kids away from their educational opportunities, or bringing them away from some of their social connections and having them get involved. And what we can find is that maybe that doesn't bring the most diverse student body to that discussion. So I think while it's a good experience to bring a committee approach to updating policies involving students, I think we also need to get creative about recognizing the problems with that and coming up with some multi-pronged approaches to involving various students in the discussion.
All right, and we'll go to Martha next, but Truman, I do have a quick public service announcement regarding these candidates, if we can do that before we close. Martha, same question. What role do you see students playing in defining policies and programs? And what, if anything, needs to be done to effectively engage students in that role?
I really have a great faith in the younger generation, and I was pleased to see students on the board when I came to see whether I wanted to run or not. They had a great sort of meet and greet with the current board. Practically, what I think I would do is go straight to the student council and the high school teachers and ask them to be creative about ideas about getting the most diverse population in the high school represented. Because we all know, all of us who've gone to high school know that there's a certain type of student that runs for student government, and there's a certain type of student who does not. Both students represent populations within the high school that are terribly important, and what you want is as many voices as possible. Mm-hmm. So I would go straight to the source for ideas of how to encourage students to participate and work from there. I really believe that it's an important voice, that if we don't listen to that voice, we get into the same serious problems we have right now with trust in the district and transparency.
Yeah. Kevin?
And thank you for answering that question, both Angela and Martha. So the public service announcement is for those who are still contemplating how to complete their ballots, which, by the way, needs to be done and in a ballot drop box at the library no later than 8 p.m. on November 7th, or ideally recommended in the post office by like in the next day or two, because it does take a little while to get that ballot into the voting center where they're counted. But the message I wanted to say is at v-mcc.org, that's the Vashon Murray Community Council, click on notes as you get to their website, and you will find the recorded candidate form, which includes both of these candidates as well as all of the contested seats on your ballot. So that's, again, the Vashon Murray Community Council, v-mcc.org, click notes, and listen to the recording if you still have questions about the folks who are running for office in our area.
Outstanding. Thank you, Kevin, for that. So this really concludes our portion of the small talk, but do either of you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share that we haven't grilled you on yet?
Well, one of my big ones, and I did just hear it, but I really want to drive it home. Don't forget to vote by November 7th. Don't forget to turn that ballot in. And I would add, we have that ballot drop box right at the library. It's so handy. And lastly, I also wanted to wish everybody a happy Halloween and throw out a shout out to Henry. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Henry. Happy birthday. That's great. Martha?
I wanted to do a shout out to Voice of Vashon and the Vashon-Maury Community Council for their deep involvement in this very much grassroots democracy that we have on Vashon. And thank you to Islanders who take the time to get your ballot in. It really does matter. And I also want to thank all the candidates that are running for every office, because if we do not step up and try to better our society, then we're really in trouble. And kudos to all Islanders that are running for positions.
And vote for Truman O'Brien.
Absolutely. Don't forget, it's a tight race.
I say that because he's running unopposed.
Unopposed. Yeah. I'm worried about the write-in vote, you know, so I got to get my name out there. That's it.
Hey, good space guy didn't make it through the primaries, Truman. So
I got a chance.
He's always angling for a job.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Anyway, thank you very much, Angela and Martha. We very much appreciate you coming in. And we're going to go on. And now I understand that as candidates for office, you prefer not to get involved in our discussions here. So we will excuse you. You're able to go about your business today. But
thank
again,
you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That shows great wisdom and discretion.
Thanks. I thought so. All right, for you guys. Recently I saw on the news that several of people are saying, oh, Trump's definitely Trump's definitely going to jail, you know. And, another group of people say, oh, there's not a chance. What do you guys think? You think they're going to jail him over this gag order or not?
Yeah, I have an opinion on that. my opinion is it's entirely up to Donald Trump. How bad is he going to be in violating the orders of the courts to not discuss certain subjects? He keeps arguing that it's violating his right to free speech and fails to recognize in the United States when a grand jury determines that there's probable cause that you've committed crimes, you lose some of your free speech rights to assure that you and the state get a fair, or the federal government get a fair trial. So it's really up to him as to whether or not he goes to jail, and he could.
Yeah, Kevin.
Okay, so, you know, I have to jump in on this one. you know, it's really intriguing that, Judge Engoron in the civil case in New York is kind of ramping up the penalties, right? And so this presumed billionaire is probably not deterred by $5,000 or $10,000 fines. So I'm thinking that I don't know what's going on in the judge's mind, but I'm thinking it's, how do I stop this? And is it increasing financial penalties? And where's the limit on that, if any, in civil trial? Or is it, you know, a day or a weekend spent in jail? And I don't know how that trade's going to work out, but I suspect Trump is going to continue to push the boundaries until he really gets to something distasteful. And I expect that he will continue to do that. So it may be a very hefty fine, or it could be jail time.
You know, I'm thinking that he's pushing it to the point, trying to get jail time for the publicity that he would get out of it. That's my personal opinion. I don't know. What do you think, Bruce? I see you nodding over there.
No. Oh, yeah. I mean, again, you know, Trump's appeal is a very interesting appeal. And the segments of the American population he's appealing to are those who are most disaffected by courts and judges and the so-called urban elites. And so Trump is playing to that audience, and putting him in jail just sort of furthers his message. So it's a very interesting dilemma for us as a democracy, is how do we handle the rule of law?
Exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm thinking. Exactly. Well, hey, folks, we are out of time. Next week, I guess we're going to have the Truman Show next week. Gosh, me two in a row?
Yeah.
So we had a cancellation. Is
hold on to your hats. Yeah, we had some potential big political entities or individuals, I should say, that were going to be here, but they had a little change of plan.
Good things come in pairs.
Yeah. Well, we hope. We'll see. We'll see. So anyway, for Kevin, Bruce, Craig, and our two guests, Angela and Martha, I am Truman O'Brien. We'll see you all next week.